Tell me about your job. What is it that you do as a whiskey professor?
My official title is Whiskey Ambassador for Heaven Hill Distilleries. And so I go around the country and different parts of the world, and I teach people about whiskey and American whiskey and bourbon. Here in a little bit, I get to go over to a great restaurant and cocktail bar called Saxon and Parole, and I'll be doing a staff training for the servers and bartenders at that account to teach them more about whiskey in general and American whiskey in general, and specifically our brands. And that's one function of my job. And, just go to the people who sell our brands in those accounts all over the country. And then I also do we had Whiskey Fest, which was just here in New York, and a couple thousand people came through the weekend and paid money to sample different whiskeys from all over the world. And, of course, bourbon and American whiskey is a very big part of the trend and just on fire right now. So we had lots of people coming by our booth, and we had different marks of our brands out for them to taste. That's another part of what I do. And then another thing is what I'll be doing in Paducah, going to different dinners and different whiskey functions for consumers that consumers go to. And, I'll be doing anything from a 30-person dinner that a local restaurant will pair our thick bourbons and American whiskeys with each meal, up to what we're doing in Paducah, which is a much larger scale consumer event. Then I also host VIPs when they come through Kentucky and either going to buy full barrels to take back to their accounts or just visit our place and show them around. So my job's pretty multifaceted, but it's really cool.
It sounds like it's a perfect fit for you. I understand you are a stand-up comedian, and you are continuing your guitar, singer, songwriter skills as well.
Right, right. I was a full-time professional entertainer for 20 plus years, and this dovetails real well into that. So it's really, really fun for me.
I had the feeling that the Nose realized that you might be a good fit for their business. It seemed like a really good marriage right off the bat.
Yeah, it was. It worked out really well. You just never know. I mean, you never know. I didn't have a full-time job other than working for myself. So I guess it was a little bit of a risk for somebody to take a chance on me. It's worked out very well.
I read someplace that your family was in the brewing business, beer brewing business.
Well, my dad worked at Fall City Brewing Company out of Louisville, Kentucky. And he was not a brewer, but he worked there for 45 years as a purchasing agent. There he did all the procurement and that. And my grandfather, his father, was not a brewer either, but he was one of the 13 original saloon keepers that founded Fall City Brewery in 1905. So
that
I was around all, just that side of it. It was pretty cool.
That is cool. Hey, what will we be hearing from you on the 26th? Will you be talking about BIB and other kinds of educational topics? Will you tell us about Elijah Craig?
Well, they want me to talk about Elijah Craig a little bit because that's the one brand they chose for us to toast and sample with. And I'm just talking for 20 minutes, so I'm still outlining it all together. But we'll talk about the broad history of bourbon and American whiskey and, that's why it's so popular now and why it took so long for it to come back to this golden age of bourbon. And Elijah Craig himself, they've made it pretty clear they want me to talk about him. So I want to make it entertaining, I want to make it educational, and I want to make it fun.
You referenced the golden age of bourbon.
There's never been more bourbon produced in the history of the United States. There's never been more barrels of whiskey aging in the history of the United States. So this has to be undoubtedly the golden age of bourbon.
Now, what is causing this mass production?
Consumer, just can't get enough. So it's a hidden gem that's been there for a long time, but because bourbon and American whiskey had to go out of production 80 years ago in Prohibition, you had a whole generation of people that didn't know what it was, wasn't used to growing up with it. After Prohibition ends and we have World War II, a lot of folks go away to the Army. A lot of most of the distilleries got government contracts to make high-proof alcohol to aid the war effort high-proof alcohol is important in the production of some gunpowder and things like that, synthetic materials. You know, it just bourbon goes away for a while. American whiskey goes away for a while. When they came back from World War II, London gin and things that they found over there. So gin becomes the number one selling spirit in the United States, followed after that by vodka. You know, it wasn't until about 8 or 10 years ago that people rediscovered this hidden gem that's been there for a long time. And now, you know, a lot of things, you know, you have a lot of television shows, Boardwalk Empire, Moonshiners, Hatfields and McCoys, different television shows help spark the interest. And it's a very American thing. People are kind of patriotic right now. So there's not many products that you can boast that are made in America. And this, by law, has to be made in the United States. So we cannot outsource this. I mean, I think it's a combination of many, many things that people are discovering about it, men and women.
I had to laugh at whiskey war you were in when you declared it's your patriotic damn duty to drink this bourbon.
That's right. That's right. It sure is.
It sounds like you are a busy guy. It must be a mixed blessing to represent bourbon when you probably have to drink a lot.
You do have to sample the product. As long as you don't let it take over your life, and you know, I respect it. I think I drink smart. And it's something you think about. You know, you want to have good health. You want to have a good life. But this is part of my life, and I keep I work out on the road. I take care of myself physically.
I read that you have that you earned a BA in business from the University of Kentucky. What inspired you to become a stand-up comedian?
Well, I worked at a bank for 2.5 years. That'll do it. Didn't want to be in that anymore. It was something I did. That's what something you grow, you know, that you have since you're a kid. I mean, to be an entertainer, specifically, you know, some people want to be in the theater. Some people want to be, you know, a ballet performer. Some people want to do whatever. I grew up watching Johnny Carson at night. You know, I would, you know, delay going to bed. And that's back when everybody had a little black and white portable television in your bedroom, and I'd always sneak and play it real quiet so my mom and dad wouldn't hear that I had the TV on that late at night. But I'd always watch his opening monologue, and anytime comedians would come on different variety shows and that, it was just something that I always watched, like George Carlin or Bill Cosby when they came on. It was just something that when I noticed that making people laugh is a very powerful and enjoyable thing. And you know, I would do it with my friends and family around, you know, try to make them laugh. So that was something that, that's always been in me. And then in the early 80s, when I was working at the bank, that's when the comedy explosion happened. And I got into that, then stand up doing open mic nights and got good responses from the audience. And then I took the chance. Started doing comedy on the road and getting paid for it. And that's really where you learn. So my first booking was for 2 weeks. And then after that, 20 years later, I got into the bourbon business, doing the same thing, just my audiences are smaller and different.
Wow. It has been a comedy explosion. And it seems like a really a good welding of someone who can stand up for himself to do this whiskey gig as well, bourbon gig.
First of all, I'm used to being on the road. Not everybody can travel. I'm single. I don't have any children or anything, so it's easy for me to leave my condo in Louisville. And I've been up here for 6 nights, and I go to Toronto for 2 nights. Not everybody can do that. So just right there, it lends with. And plus, I'm used to traveling. I love traveling. I'm never a stranger in any town I go to. I know people, either from the comedy world or now, you know, I can walk into many restaurants and bars around the country and the world and know somebody standing behind the bar. That's pretty cool. I think that's a pretty neat thing. And so, you know, I like it. It can take over your life traveling too much. You need a personal life. So that's the challenge, is having that balance, trying to get that balance.